Praise the Lord. How many are ready to receive the word of the Lord right now? Amen. We're continuing in our series titled Stepping Out. The Stepping Out series is all about living a life of faith because faith is what pleases God. And man, it's been such a, I think, rich and wonderful time as we like really lock in one chapter of the Bible saying so much. The Bible says so much that is helpful and necessary to our lives. Today it's kind of unique because it's one verse that spans a whole lifetime, and this one verse actually prompted Chrissy and I to ask each other a question. And this is not a morbid question, it's a meaningful question. But because Chrissy is in Philadelphia today and she's actually sharing on the same text today, so as we were talking about it, it made us ask a question. You ready for the question? It was, so where do you want to be buried? Okay? And why? Now I'm gonna explain to you in a moment where that question came from. It came from the life of one of the great men of God in the Bible. One of my favorite Bible characters is Joseph, not Joseph's dad, not Jesus's dad in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, there was a young man whose name was Joseph. And today, the Bible speaks of him in a very unique way. Hebrews 11:22 puts it this way. It says, by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. Okay? One verse, it covers his whole life. And here's what it basically means. And if this message is going to be helpful to you and meaningful to you, there's like a spirit to it. There's like a, it's sort of like a perspective attitude that is actually revealed through this text. And here's what Joseph was saying, and here's what the Bible is speaking about. So Joseph, we'll unfold this in a moment. Joseph received a vision from God, and then he ended up, he had a rough life, a challenging life, but he was sent by God to Egypt, and when he got to Egypt, he served Pharaoh, and because of the gift of God, we were talking about the gifts of God in him, God gave him a gift to interpret dreams. Because of that gift and a couple of other things, he interpreted a Pharaoh's dream, and he saved all of Egypt, and he saved his brothers and his family, all of this incredible stuff. When he finished his call, when he accomplished the plan of God for his life, guess what Joseph said? The Bible says he was getting old, and he says, you know, my time is coming to an end, and so even though I served here, even though I ended up getting my family here, I met my wife here, even though I actually ended up blessed here through all of the turmoil and all of the difficulty, he says, I want you to know I never belonged here. And when it comes to my bones, I don't even want my bones to stay here. And when the plan of God is fulfilled, and when you guys go out of Egypt into the promised land, you take my bones with you, because I don't even want my bones to be left here. And there's a spirit to that that reflected his special brand of faith that I want to pray gets inside of us. That we would say, yes, I'm in this world, and I might get blessed here or blessed there, but I'm not part of this world. Hallelujah. I don't want my bones here. I'm going to the promised land. I'm going with the people of God. You get the flavor of it? So let me, the life of Joseph unfolds over the course of 13 chapters in the book of Genesis, Genesis 37 through around 50, I believe. And however, in Psalm 105, it gives you kind of like a synopsis of his life. And I want to put this up for you in a quick little chart to really explain this. So the Bible says, he called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph. God sent Joseph into Egypt. It says, sold as a slave, they bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. Okay, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and to teach his elders wisdom. What a unique story. This was a special kind of faith. Let me give you, again, a quick overview now in a different way. And I want to encourage you, go read this story. Read this story this week. You'll get so much out of it. It will bless your life so much. But here's the kind of the high points, which were, in a way, low points for Joseph. Okay? So when Joseph was a young man, Joseph got a vision from God. The vision was, your family is going to bow down to you. Even though you're the youngest, they're going to bow down. He told his brothers, he told his fathers. His brothers got jealous, and his brothers sold him into slavery. So God gave him this great plan. And when God gave Joseph this great plan, he never let the plan go. He never took his eyes off of it. He cherished it in his heart. And he said, God has already spoken to me that he has a plan for my life. So now he gets sold into slavery, and then the slave traders sold him to Potiphar. So he gets to Egypt, and he's sold to Potiphar, and now he has to work for Potiphar. And he worked for Potiphar, and he worked so well for Potiphar that Potiphar put him in charge of his whole house. Potiphar was a wealthy man. He had lands and he had a lot of property. Joseph was in charge of everything. And when Joseph was working for Potiphar, guess what? Joseph never took his eyes off of the plan of God. Joseph said, I don't get this, I don't understand it, but I know that God has spoken to me. Now I want to pause here because I want to say this to you. If you're going to get the spirit of this, you have to understand that you were created with a purpose. The Bible says that he formed you in your mother's womb. You were not a mistake. You understand? God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And if you're going to embrace the special kind of faith that Joseph had, one of the things that you need to say is you need to say, I'm ready to go after the plan of God. I'm going to get a hold of the plan of God. How many would know? How many would believe? How many would accept God has a plan for your life? Come on, say amen if you believe that. God has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter what you've been doing. It doesn't matter where you've been messing around. I'm telling you right now, God has a plan for your life. Amen. He created you. He chose you. The same God who had a plan for Joseph has a plan for you and me. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. But look, this is real faith and this is real life. And in real faith and in real life, it's not always easy. So he works for Potiphar, and he works so well for Potiphar that he's running the whole thing. Joseph was a good-looking guy. Potiphar's wife starts to make moves on him, and he said, no, I can't do that. I won't do that. Amen. And guess what? She falsely accuses him. He's unjustly imprisoned. So most people believe that Potiphar knew his wife was kind of shady. Yeah. Because in those days, when that happened, they would typically kill the guy. Yeah, but he chose to let him off the hook and put him in prison. Okay? So he's unjustly in prison. Then he goes to prison. And when he gets to prison, guess what he did? He worked. Everybody say he worked. He worked for the prison leader, and they put him in charge of the whole prison. So now he's running the prison, and not only was he running the prison, but there came a point when these guys had a dream, and because he had the gift of interpreting dreams, he interpreted their dreams, and it came out just the way he said, and one of the guys got promoted to work for Pharaoh, and he said, hey, when you get to Pharaoh, would you please remember me? I don't even belong here. This is not right, on and on and on, and the guy just completely forgot him. But then the day came. Everybody say, the day does come. When God promises something to you and to me, how many know the day does come? Hallelujah. The day came when he went from the prison to the palace. He interprets Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh puts him in charge of all of Egypt. If you missed the cartoon, he was the prince of Egypt. You know, no, that was Moses. I missed that. But he was. He was the prince of Egypt. He was in charge of everything. And so from one day to another, God promised him something. And then ultimately, that promise was fulfilled. And so now he makes it. And when he makes it, when he has everything, now he's the number two man in power. He has a wife, he has children, he has the house, he has the chariots, he had the Porsche chariot. He had it all. That's probably what I would bend towards myself, you know what I mean? So giving away stuff right here. So he gets it all, and guess what he says? He says, by the way, when I die, okay, I know because God has already promised that he's going to give Abraham, he's going to raise up a great nation through his family. Amen. And they're going to be children more than the stars. Amen. Of the sky and sands of grain, okay, on the seashore. Sands of grain, sands on the seashore. And he said, and when we get released from Egypt, I don't even want my bones to stay in this place, because even though I worked here, I never belonged here. I belong with the promise of God. I belong with the people of God. I belong with the purposes of God. Don't even leave my bones in this place. And what you see is that his whole life, what was special about Joseph is that Joseph lived for the plans and purposes of God. Amen. And if you really want this special kind of faith, can I tell you something? Real faith, everybody say real faith. Real faith lives for God's plan. Amen. That's the title of the message today. And I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, we can get a hold of God's plan. Amen. You see, if you open up your heart to God's plan for your life, he'll reveal it to you. But God doesn't reveal what you won't honor. That's good. But if you say, Lord, if you show me, I'll follow. Amen. You know, where you lead me, I will follow. If you say, I will follow that plan, I'll stick to the plan. And I'll stick to the plan even when things are not perfect. I'm telling you right now, he'll reveal that plan. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And he'll give you the grace that you need to fulfill that plan. Today's message is super practical, believe it or not. And, you know, I felt compelled to say this, and you'll see in a moment why. But can I tell you, God will hold all of us accountable for today's message. Like, this is important, you know, because God really does have a plan for your life and mine. God will hold us accountable for his word that promises to bless us and use us in powerful ways. So I want to pray that God would impart the faith that is driven to live for the plan of God. Not our plan, not our dreams, you know, not our preferences. Last week was faith chooses God's way. There's what you prefer. There's what tradition says. There's what the American dream says. Real faith says, forget about all of that. I want God's way. And I want God's plan. So come on, lift your hands with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this beautiful service. And God, I pray for, Lord, the youngest Christian to the oldest Christian. God, give us a faith to go after your plan. Help us, oh God, to surrender to your plan. And give us, Lord God, the integrity. Give us the courage. Give us the perseverance that you gave to Joseph so that we can stay on track, oh God, until that plan is fulfilled and until we see you face to face. Bless this word. Bless our time. Lord, I pray that as the word goes forth, I pray for the individual adjustments necessary to each and every life. God, that we would make those, that you would reveal to us those adjustments that we need to make so that we could be in line with your plan for our lives. So bless this word. Bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith lives for God's plan. And he was like, hey, I did my job in Egypt. There's something unique about this. I did my job in Egypt, but once my job is done, I don't even want my bones here. Now, by the way, when I first became a Christian, I heard about one of the great missionaries that came from England. His name was Dr. David Livingstone. And Dr. David Livingstone, his work in Zambia became very, it was so impactful, it was so powerful that when he died, they actually buried him in two different places. It's very interesting. So the British government claimed him as one of their prized citizens, and they took his body and they interned it at Westminster Abbey. If you ever see one of the royal weddings, it's always at Westminster Abbey. It's this special church. I've had the privilege of being there. And if you go into Westminster Abbey, what they do is for their most distinguished citizens, they actually bury their body there. And so it's an amazing thing. It's like walking through a museum. David Livingstone's body is there in Westminster Abbey. But when they were about to take his body, because the British government claimed him, you know what the Zambians said? The Zambians said, you can take his body, but you can't take his heart. Because his heart was with us. And so you know what they did? They took his heart out and they buried it under a tree in Zambia. Okay? Where do you want to be buried? What does this mean? This speaks to the fact of where is your heart? What do you want your life to really mean? What do you want to leave behind? Joseph was like, look, I served here because it was God's plan for me to come here, but I never belonged here. Brothers and sisters, we are just passing through. We serve here, but we don't belong here. Somebody say amen. We're looking for that day. We're looking for the city and the builder whose architect is God. Amen. We're not attached to this world. Amen. But we have a job to do. Amen. Lord, help us to live like Joseph. Help us, Lord. Can I read this quote to you about David Livingstone, and then I want to apply this? I remember reading this. It so moved me. I pray that it moves you. Many a morning have I stood on the porch of my house and looking northward have seen the smoke arise from villages that have never heard of Jesus Christ. I have seen at different times the smoke of 1,000 villages. villages whose people are without Christ, without God, and without hope in the world. The smoke of 1,000 villages, the smoke of 1,000 villages. The plan of God for his life was to impact those villages, those homes. No matter how big that plan is, fear not, because little is much when God is in it. You might look at yourself and say, how? Don't worry about how. Follow the plan. Surrender to the plan. Watch God use your life if you just give yourself to the plan of God. How great is the power of God? He takes a prisoner and he puts him in charge of the whole country of Egypt, and he saves all of them. Nothing is too hard for our God. Amen. Amen. But look, it was a special kind of faith that he possessed. We have to ask ourselves, how did he get there? He got there in very, very practical ways. You know how Joseph got to Pharaoh's palace? You ready? He worked. W-O-R-K. Guess what? Real faith, everyone, works. Joseph worked. He didn't understand. Things were not easy. He didn't have perfect bosses. But everywhere Joseph went, guess what Joseph did? Joseph worked. You know what? Joseph's work was his witness. Did you know that your work is a witness? Right? Your work tells people about you. Your work tells people what you believe, what you stand for, what you value. Christians work. Now, I see people going like this. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is true. Just because we live in a nation and we live in a time that people don't want to work, I'm going to tell you right now, a lazy nation will become weak and flabby. A lazy nation will be taken over. And even if all of the people in this world don't want to work, we as children of God, how many know we are called to work? We're called to work for the glory of God. Go ahead and push out the amen. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. And just because everybody wants to stay home and work less and get paid more, that is not our value system. Christians work. That's what he did. He worked hard, and because he worked hard, he brought glory to God. And everywhere he worked, it was preparing him for the fulfillment of the plan of God. Amen. This is a really big deal. When I was a kid, I watched the Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and I heard for the first time, you know what the dwarves did when they went to work? They would whistle while they worked. Okay? Do you whistle while you work, or do you grumble while you work? A lot of people grumble while they work, complain while they work, show up late when they should be working. Uh-oh. Your work is your witness. Everyone that Joseph worked for was blessed and was prospered. We should wake up in the morning and say, I want my boss to be so blessed from my work. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Some people are going, ugh. Do you know that before sin came into the world, before Adam had a family, he had a job? By the way, ladies, that's a great way to pick them. No job, no date. But that's a whole other. And look, if your working conditions have to be perfect for you to work, you're not a real worker. Okay? You're not a real worker. You don't have to have a perfect boss, and you don't have to have perfect this and perfect that. That is not biblical. You know, I heard a story this past week. Actually, it was last week. You know, I got to throw a baseball story in there. So it turns out that last week the Yankees lifted a ban that was part of their organization since the Yankees started. Since the Yankees started, if you were in the big leagues or even in the minor leagues, you were not allowed to have a beard. And I happen to know this because I heard from my friends that when you played for the Yankees, even in the minor leagues, when you traveled, you had to kind of dress up. You know, you couldn't. You see, they got sweats and sandals and all that. That's the Yankees don't roll that way. They're like, yo, you dress up. You are a New York Yankee. And we used to say to ourselves, hey, I hope I get picked by the Yankees because the Yankees pay the best money. Okay. Right? Yeah. So we were like, hey, I'll shave. I'll shave for that, you know. But anyway, it turns out that Lou Piniella, who ended up managing them, was a superstar for the Yankees. At a certain point, George Steinbrenner, who was a famous owner of the Yankees, he passed on. His son is the one who lifted it, by the way, Hal Steinbrenner. But once Lou Piniella was saying to George Steinbrenner, he was like, come on. He's like, everybody in the big leagues gets to, you know, have a beard. It's like, what is this? He goes, did you know that even Jesus had a beard and long hair? You know what Steinbrenner said to him? I love this. He said, you see that pond out there in out in the outfield that they built into the stadium there? He said, yeah. He said, when you walk across that pond, you can have a beard, but until then, I'm the boss, no beard. And guess what? Sometimes the boss says no beard. You're like, well, that's not fair. Forget about that and work. Come on. Oh, I'm messing with stuff today. I got to give myself permission to preach today. Stop making excuses and work. Traffic is not your boss's responsibility. It's your responsibility. Get to work on time. Come on, somebody say amen. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? It's because look at what the Bible says. I have two verses. By the way, your work is your witness, and your witness will lead to promotion. So let me give you two verses here very quickly. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. If you go to work tonight or when you wake up tomorrow and you go to work, who are you working for? I'm going to tell you who you really should be working for. We work for Jesus. We don't work for the boss. We work for someone higher, someone greater. And so we work with all of our hearts. We work with everything that's inside of us. You see, it says, look, it says, since you, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. When you go to school, when you go to the office, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. We want to bring him glory. We want to bring him honor. Whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Now, in addition to that, look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, do you see someone skilled? Okay, skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. The skilled worker is the one who gets the promotion. It's not the lazy worker. It's the skilled worker. It's the worker that does it well. It's the worker that does it excellent. It's the worker that makes the effort. I'm telling you right now. So think about it this way. So let's say it's a 40-hour work week. And I've said this to a bunch of different people over the years. We got to say this to our kids. Okay, this verse is very powerful. Tell your kids, work hard, become skilled at what you do, and you will be promoted. Okay? You make the boss look good, the boss is going to promote you. Amen. Am I right? Amen. So look, you got 40 hours a week, you get 5 hours for lunch. 35 hours. You show me someone who can really concentrate for 35 hours, and I will show you someone who will be promoted and promoted and promoted because whoever works really hard, whoever develops their skills. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the north or the south or the east or the west, but from the Lord. How many know God will bless you if you work and if you work hard for him? So I want to challenge you. We need to get to work. We need to get good at what we're doing because it brings glory to God. Amen. Our work is our witness. That's what David did. You see, David didn't blame people, and he had a lot of reason to blame. David didn't get sour. Joseph didn't get sour. Joseph didn't get like grumbly or complaining. He's like, Lord, I know you have a plan. I know that you have a plan. And you know what, Lord? I'm going to serve you every single day with everything that's inside of me. And then I'm going to let you do what you promised. God, help us to work. Help us to be good stewards this week. Help us to see our job in a completely different light. Help us to be different. Your work is your witness. Your witness leads to promotion. Now, here's what's amazing about Joseph. So, Joseph gets the promotion. Now he's the man, right? Now he's in charge. Joseph could have said, kill this one, kill that one. He had everything. He arrived. He made it. And guess what he did? When he made it, he said, even though I made it, I don't even belong here. I know that whatever I have, it's really not come from Egypt, it's come from God to me. So the unique balance of his life was that Joseph worked, but once he made it, Joseph also remained separate. So real faith works, and then real faith separates. Everybody say, faith separates. Why the whole thing about the bones? It's because when he made it, he was like, well, now that I made it, that doesn't mean I'm one of them. I don't belong here. You understand? I may have made it. And a lot of people, you know, Americans, they love to cry broke. We compare ourselves to Elon Musk. You know, do they still have that show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? I don't know if they still have that show. They don't? It's kind of a good one. No. Right? And so we watch these shows about what everyone has, and we're like, man, I'm broke. No, we're not that broke. Okay? We're not that broke. Most of the world doesn't have all the drive-thrus that we have. Most of the world doesn't have coffee money. Most of the world doesn't have the nice phone that we have and the this and the that. How many know we are a blessed people? Come on, somebody say amen. It's okay if you get more. If it's okay if you get blessed, God blesses his people. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous, but I want you to notice that when he was prospered, he wasn't like, wow, I'm one of them now. I belong with them. I'm in the in crowd now. No, he was never part of the in crowd. He was like, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. I belong someplace else. I serve someone else. I'm not about the money. I'm about the Lord. Lord, the King, I'm about Yahweh. Look at how Thomas Manton described this, and we're going to wrap this up in a moment. I love this quote. He said, Joseph was a great man in Egypt, yet his heart was elsewhere. He had no mind to the country where he was so well at ease. So though we live in Egypt, let our hearts be in Canaan. Canaan is the promised land. If we cannot get out of the world, let us get the world out of us. And here's the way Jesus said it. Jesus said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You and I are not of this world. We don't need to belong. We don't need to be accepted. We don't need to be loved by everyone. A lot of people, when they make it, they want to be accepted. And the Christian says, I don't need to be accepted by you. I need to be accepted by Jesus. You understand? And look, to be godly, to like stand for God doesn't make you weird. Well, if I don't do what they do, they're going to think I'm weird. No, they're just going to think you're strong. They're going to think you're good. They're going to think, well, he doesn't need all that shallow stuff. Your work will be a witness. Come on, how many of you, we don't have to do what they do at the end of work. Hey, now that you made it, now that you're part, look, go party with us. Let's do this. No, I got to go home to my wife. That's where I'm going. Doesn't matter how much money I have. I don't want to belong. I belong someplace. How many want to stay connected? How many want to remain separate from this world? I'm telling you right now. You know, when Tommy was playing he was playing baseball on this team. One of his coaches said to me, we were just new here. One of his coaches said to me, hey, if you have the time, I've got this kind of club. We play cards and we gamble a little bit. Sometimes we have strippers come and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, no. I said, no, I'm a Christian. He's like, really? I said, yeah. I said, in fact, I'm a pastor. So he said to me, I'm on the other team. I'm like, oh, that's cool, but my team wins. Come on. How many are we on the winning team? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The next time you're in one of those situations, you know what you can say to them? You say, I'll check with you in 5 years and let me know how that's going for you. 5 years. Many times, not even 5 years. Sometimes it's 5 weeks. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. You understand? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Real faith remains separate. God, help us to remain separate, not weird. Love them. Ask about their kids. You know, buy their kid a baseball glove. Buy, you know, do stuff. Be kind. Be loving. Serve them. Make them look good when the boss is in the room. Do whatever. But don't be like them if they don't want to be like Jesus. That's real faith. Real faith works, and then real faith remains separate. I don't belong here. I'm separate from this place. Here's the last thing I'll say about this. You see, the Bible says in the New Testament, in Hebrews, I believe it says, come out from among them, right? It says in Corinthians 2, be holy. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Now, here's the problem. In our own strength, nobody actually can be holy like God is holy. So what God is saying is he's saying, get close to me. Separate from the world. Separation starts in the morning. When you read your Bible, that's part of the way you're building up the ability to stay separate. Because here's how holiness happens. God imparts it to us. When you spend time with God, it's like going in a like a Cancun, Mexico sun. And if you're there long enough, the color of your skin changes. You get a tan because of the influence of the sun. And so here's what happens. Even if you love something that's not good for you, when you spend time, when you separate to the presence of God and you say, Lord, just make me like you. I can't change myself, but Lord, just make me like you. All of a sudden, because of the rays of the sun, the S-O-N, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, because of his power, because of his impartation, now you walk out in the world and the very thing you used to love, all of a sudden your spirit says, oh no, I don't want that anymore. I don't belong to that anymore. I belong to a different place, a different city. Hallelujah. I'm different because I've been with him. You see? So as we draw near to God, we separate. And when we separate, he gets the glory. All the glory, all the honor. Real faith works. Brothers and sisters, work this week. I'm telling you right now, work this week. No grumbling. No complaint. Just work. But remain separate.